What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. And you could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. And, of course, back in the studio, back from the Rose Bowl. Finally nice of him to show up for the first time in 2023, because he wasn't here on Monday. He wasn't here on Tuesday. Like the DA show would say, we found out who had their hard hats on this week. We know it wasn't Hickey, as he was just running around the Rose Bowl with maybe a few too many drinks in his system. But welcome back to now year four of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And I think, Hickey, this is your, it's been tough to keep track because, you know, you definitely have been very forgettable. I mean, not memorable, of course. But is this now year three for you on the show? Is it two and a half, year two? How many official years is it for you on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio in a full-time capacity?
I believe going on, this is year three, because it was like November of 2020, I believe, is when I first came on board a full-time participant.
Gotcha. Well, congratulations, Mazel Tov. Nice of you to ditch us the first 2 days of the year, but I hope you had fun at the Rose Bowl. I do have a bone to pick with you about your trip to the Rose Bowl. We'll get to that, but we got to play the sounder for the first time this year because I was stuck with Brian Jack McKean, who actually did a very good job the last 2 days. I give him credit. Usually when they stick me with some fill-in producers, they do an awful job. But I thought Brian Jack McKean stepped up to the plate, and he hit it out of the park. But producing this extravaganza, welcome back, the Hot Take Hickey.
Hot Take Hickey.
Okay, we will do some other things today outside of talking about what is the most important story, not only in the NFL world right now, but in the sports world, and that is DeMar Hamlin. But that is where we do start today's show with, as the Bills released a update today that DeMar remains in ICU in critical condition with signs of improvement that were noted yesterday and overnight. He's expected to remain under intensive care as his health care team continues to monitor and treat him. Obviously, the update that was given out last night is that he's still on a ventilator, is only needing 50% of it, though, so his breathing is improving, but it was at 100%. Going back to now what was on Monday, and that did change yesterday. His uncle did give an update on that. So that is the latest in terms of DeMar Hamlin and what we know from an NFL standpoint, and in terms of, and obviously we wish nothing but the best, and we hope that DeMar Hamlin is able to make a recovery, and hopefully we start to see a big turn, but they're remaining positive, the family, and we got a positive update last night while we were on the air, so let's hope that does continue and it keeps on from here. And what was an awful situation that we clearly have discussed, and clearly it was a frightening scene that did unfold on Monday night and just a terrible scene. Hopefully we just get good news from here on out. Now, from an NFL standpoint, I know that NFL fans, this is a sports show, sports fans, obviously the thoughts and the attention is to the health and safety of DeMar Hamlin first, but there is a weekend of games scheduled right now. The NFL did announce today that the Bengals, who were involved in the game against the Buffalo Bills, will host the Ravens at 1 p.m. on Sunday. And Troy Vincent was on a conference call today, and he adds that everything is being considered when it comes to rescheduling or just maybe postponing and never resuming Bills versus Bengals that was at 7-3 in the first quarter on Monday night. Now, the Associated Press had a story today, and it says that the NFL is still considering various options following the suspension of the Bills-Bengals game, including possibly eliminating the bye week before the Super Bowl. The Bills-Patriots game is set for Sunday, and the rest of Week 18 remain on schedule. So we'll get into some of the ways that the NFL could alter their schedule if they're going to do anything at all. But you really haven't heard anything from the NFL besides that Week 18 is on schedule. And the only thing we know, and we've known this now for the better part of 2 days, is that Bills-Bengals is not going to get resumed this week. There was maybe a thought right in the aftermath of when this happened that Bills-Bengals would be pushed back to Sunday or be pushed back to Monday, and then everyone would be off this week, and then you would have Week 18 be moved over to Week 19. Since this Bills-Patriots game is set for Sunday, and they've already said that Bills-Bengals is not going to be played this week, if it is ever played again, that it's not going to be for this week. You know that the next potential game for the Bills and is the Patriots coming up on Sunday. Now, I'll say this. I really do believe that the NFL is really taking this, I don't even want to say day by day, minute by minute. And things could change. They are appearing to continue to go on with football this weekend. Would it surprise me if tomorrow we get an announcement that everything is off for this weekend? No, nothing would surprise me at this point. And it is a difficult decision. I think the NFL has to eventually, and I'm sure they're talking behind the scenes to the Bills, but we have not heard many, and understandably so, Buffalo Bills personnel speak publicly other than the statements. We have some audio from Deion Dawkins, which we'll play for you later, who was on CNN last night and then also ESPN. But I said this yesterday that, and I thought maybe there was a chance we're going to get some Bills personnel speak today with people getting back into the facility, and no one was made available today, and totally understand that. I wouldn't want to talk about this either because it's still obviously so fresh in the mind of so many of these players, and it's going to be something that they're going to have to live with, not only right now, but for the rest of their lives with what they saw. And obviously everyone's attention is to DeMar Hamlin and hoping that DeMar Hamlin continues to show signs of improvement and then gets to be in a spot where we get to eventually see him walk out of that hospital one day. But when it comes to the Bills, I do believe their words, whether they're public or private, are very important in this matter. And you have to take mental health and obviously physical health into regard here, where if the Bills don't want to play on Sunday, I know that some could say, well, then the rest of the league has to play. I think this is either every team plays this weekend or none of the teams play this weekend. And I do think the words of the Bills, which not has been much publicly, we'll see if anything is made and is being talked about privately. But if the Bills say we don't want to play, we don't feel comfortable playing right now, and we need a week, I think the NFL should honor the feel of the Bills and really go and let the Bills decide. But this decision is going to have to happen soon because yesterday and on Monday, it wasn't really on the minds of people. Today it is because you are getting closer. And hey, teams could prepare and then be told you're going to have a few more days to prepare and there's going to be no football this week. And I think everyone understands that they're going to be operating on this entire situation minute by minute. But I do think that we need to get not necessarily a final decision tomorrow, but a concrete decision. Because all we've been told so far is that Week 18 is going to remain on schedule. Now, you hear Week 18 is going to remain on schedule. That is for now. And you hear other things that everything is on the table and you hear other reporters say they really haven't made a concrete decision, I do think as concrete of a decision that can be made with this situation, it needs to sort of be made tomorrow. And it does appear, and maybe I'll be wrong on this, because yesterday I thought for sure, and I thought that they were not going to play this weekend, but it does seem like the NFL is going to attempt to play this weekend when they did release the start time of that Bengals and Ravens game 1 p.m. on Sunday and did acknowledge that the Bills-Patriots game is still set for Sunday as well. So we'll have to wait and see. We will continue to monitor this situation. But I did think that Jason McCourty, who's been a phenomenal addition to Good Morning Football, the former Tennessee Titan, Patriot, and Miami Dolphin, I think he also played in Cleveland too. He was phenomenal, I thought, this morning, giving the player side of it. It's a little long. It's about a minute 52, but we want to play it in its entirety. This is Jason McCourty via Good Morning Football discussing the emotions involved from a player perspective of whether games should be played this weekend or not.
A lot of us are sitting here wondering, they're like, okay, they have a game 1 o'clock on Sunday at home, and they're just like, how in the world are they going to be able to block out everything that has transpired for 3 hours to go out there and execute and play in a football game? And there is no right or wrong way to come up with an answer for that. And the truth of the matter, it's a case-by-case situation with the players there, because there are some guys that may feel like, hey, my entire life has been adversity after adversity, and the one thing that I've been able to do to get away from whatever that's been bothering me in my life was I can strap on a helmet and I can play football. I can walk into a meeting room and I can escape everything on the outside world. I can block the noise. I can lock in with my brothers around me, with the coaches, with the organization, and it's all about football right now. So there are some guys that are in that Buffalo Bills locker room, Bengals, 32 locker rooms across the NFL that are like, I want to get back to football because this has consumed me for the past 48 hours, and I want to just have a glimpse of an escape, whether it's for an hour meeting, whether it's for a two-hour walkthrough. I just want a little bit of an escape to get back to normal. And there are some other guys that are possibly being in a locker room within an organization, and male or females, that are like, I can't do it. I need to get away. I need to have a safe space where I'm away from it. Mentally, I just need a break. I'm drained. And you have to respect both sides of that coin, because you don't know how to handle this adversity. And I've heard people talk about what going through different things, and you pick your tears up and you walk along the path with them. You don't just leave them in one area. It continues to follow you, and you learn how to deal with it. And the Buffalo Bills, today, tomorrow, for the next weeks, months, years, they're going to be figuring out how to carry their tears along with them and how to continue to walk and figure out life and figure out football and whatever else comes their way.
So a lot of times, right, when you have a terrible situation occur, whether it's in your personal life or professional life, when you're dealing with a football player, how many times do we hear a player lose a loved one? Like, let's say a mother or a father, and then they go, I wanted to play because it got my mind off of it. Now, the tricky situation here is what happened on Monday night was on a football field. So when you go back into the facility, it's tough to clear your mind. And even though you're in a team meeting and you're getting ready for a game, I think it's just very tough to, I don't want to say ignore, but distract yourself from what's happening, because there are guys in that DB room that, and other guys on the team, obviously, that are very close with DeMar Hamlin. And if you're in a DB room and he's not there, obviously, it's impossible not to think it. So I really do believe that the NFL, and I said this once yesterday, I said it already today, and I'll say it again, they need to follow the lead of the Bills here. And I know it's Wednesday, and I know there's a lot of times we're impatient, but you got to get the pulse of your team, and you got to understand what you think, and it's never going to be everyone that's going to want to play or not play. And who knows, maybe they come together and the leaders, they talk about it with the team and they have a decision as one of what they prefer to do, if that's the way that this is going to go and the way that I think it should go. But you got to, if you're Sean McDermott, if you're Brandon Bean, obviously talk to all your players and just see where their headspace is at. Because if you don't have people locked in, or as locked in as you can be with everything that did go on, you could open yourself up to being in a bad spot on a football field. Because when you play in a high contact collision sport, you have to be locked in, because obviously we know many dangers that could occur even when you are fully locked in. So I really do believe that the Bills' voices should be very important in leading this decision. We saw a Monday night where there were a moment when we thought they were going to return and resume this game, which would have been the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And it was really Zach Taylor, it was really Sean McDermott that said, yeah, we're not going to continue this game. So I do once again believe that the NFL should follow the lead of the Buffalo Bills. And I do think a decision has to be made by tomorrow, probably at the latest, because you do have other games that could be impacted because of how early in the week this is starting, with Saturday games being played. I will play you one more audio clip, and then we will take a break, and we'll get into the potential scheduling of this situation. Zach Taylor did address reporters today at the Bengals facility, and Zach Taylor, the Bengals coach, who clearly was involved in the game on Monday night, discloses his first conversation with Sean McDermott on the field after the horrible DeMar Hamlin injury.
We separated as teams. The officials, again, did a great job of coming over to me and saying, hey, you know, they're still trying to process this moment here, Coach McDermott and their team. And so instead of playing telephone on separate sidelines, the decision was made just to go over there and make sure we're all, you know, talking together. And I won't disclose any of the private conversations Sean and I had except for this. When I got over there, the first thing he said was, I need to be at the hospital tomorrow, and I shouldn't be coaching this game. And so that, to me, provides all the clarity, because there was no unprecedented is the word that gets thrown out a lot about this situation, because that's what it is. But in that moment, he really showed who he was, that all his focus was just on DeMar and being there for him, being there for his family at the hospital. And at that point, I think everything trended in the direction it needed to trend, and the right decisions were made there. But again, the way that I really felt Sean McDermott led in that moment for his players. He was there for his players. He processed the right way, which was incredibly difficult, and really helped us get to the solution that we needed to get to.
So that was Zach Taylor, who did address reporters today. And I just want to once again stress that I thought Zach Taylor and Sean McDermott, in a situation that we've never seen before, were admirable in the leadership that they did display on the field. Unfortunately, where everything was unfolding right in front of us on what was a Monday night football game that obviously we will never forget. So that's where we're currently at. DeMar Hamlin, according to the Bills, remains in the ICU in critical condition with signs of improvement noted yesterday and overnight. He's expected to remain under intensive care as his health care team continues to monitor and treat him. And then in terms of the returning to play, we know Bills and Bengals is not going to get resumed this week. We don't know if it's going to get resumed again. Troy Vincent, once again, just to reiterate, says everything is being considered when it comes to Bills versus Bengals. And the AP, just to throw this out there again in this segment, says the NFL is considering various options following the suspension of Bills-Bengals game still, including the possibility eliminating the bye week before the Super Bowl. And Bills-Patriots is set for Sunday at 1 o'clock, and the rest of the 18 games remain on schedule for now. And we'll see if there's any alterations. But just once again, it is Wednesday, so I do think they got to make this decision as final as final could be in what is a situation that could change minute by minute. By some point tomorrow. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back when we do return. I just want to get into one scenario that Mike Florio threw out there on 93.7 The Fan. Mike, of course, obviously the man that runs Pro Football Talk, just on how the NFL could navigate the schedule with everything that did happen since Monday night. We'll come on back. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle.
You're fraudulent. You're not in the business of winning football games. You're in the business of trying to prove your own asinine decisions correct. We can talk about the Ursay thing. Do I think the Saturday thing is the biggest joke in the history of the NFL? I do. But at least he was willing to say, this ain't working for me. I don't care that I just gave him extensions.
Listen to In the Huddle, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So we're all trying to figure out how the NFL is going to proceed right now, and things could change. All we know is they're planning to play the games this weekend. That does start on Saturday. You will have the Bengals who are going up against the Ravens, which is supposed to be played on Sunday at 1 p.m., and you will have the Bills and the Patriots, which once again is supposed to be played on Sunday at 1 p.m. as well. Because of that game having implications, even though the game doesn't really mean anything when you get to the human element of it, but in the sports world, where you could still argue it means really nothing, but once you get into what it means for positioning and seeding and everything, it could have determined if the Bills get the number one seed or not. It can determine who ends up winning the AFC North as well. So people are just wondering, will they play Bills and Bengals and resume that, whether that's in a week 19 scenario or you push everything back? And there's a few scenarios that you could run through. Like, it would not surprise me, and not that I'm the commissioner, obviously, but if you try to think about what you would do here, I do think it's tough to resume that game, Bills and Bengals, but if you feel like you need to, you could push everything back and not play this week, then on Monday, play Bengals and Bills, and then have what would have been your week 18 this weekend get pushed back to the weekend after that, and let's just call it a week 19 scenario. And then everything just gets pushed back a week, where the Super Bowl would stay the same. You would just have a bye. You wouldn't have a bye week in between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl. Now, obviously, the last time we've seen the NFL push back the Super Bowl, or not push back the Super Bowl, but just have not a bye week in between the Super Bowl, was when you did have 9/11 occur, when they did take a full weekend off. I remember the Patriots AFC Championship game up against the Steelers. They win, no bye week in between. They just went right to New Orleans, and then they had that classic Super Bowl 36 with the Patriots and the Rams. So that's one option. You could also just play this weekend, have your wild card weekend next weekend, never reschedule Bengals and Bills, and just have the standings lie as they do. Or you could push everything back and feel like it's not right to play football this weekend. Push your week 18 to next weekend and still just not reschedule Bengals and Bills. So there's a few options on the table. We have heard some things from the league, but the tone of most of these statements or most of these conference calls isn't as definitive as it may read, or at least that's the way that I just interpret it. So we'll have to wait and see what the league does. I still think it's a little bit ambiguous, other than the more and more as the days do go on, you get a sense that they're going to play football this weekend, but then the question still is hanging out there. What's going to happen to that game that was started on Monday and obviously not finished and never should have been finished on Monday night between the Bengals and the Bills? This is Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. He was on his weekly spot with the afternoon drive team in Pittsburgh on 93.7 The Fan. And this is what he is hearing, what could potentially happen.
I can't imagine them playing that game. I can't imagine reconvening in Cincinnati, the Bills and the Bengals. They could cross paths in the playoffs. That's different, though. Going back and finishing that game, the longer that we go without a decision, I think the harder it's going to be to play that game at all. And obviously it's not going to happen this weekend, so what do you do? There's an idea percolating that would go like this. First week of the playoffs would be NFC wild card only and Bills Bengals. Second week of the playoffs would be AFC wild card once we know the final seeding in the AFC after Bills and Bengals play. Then divisional round for everyone, AFC and NFC, the following week. Then conference championships, then Super Bowl. You would just wipe out the week between the conference championships and the Super Bowl that currently has nothing other than the Pro Bowl games, whatever they're going to be. But I still can't imagine that game being played. I think they're going to come up with some other solution for resolving that game. No contest, tie, coin flip. That would seem horribly unfair and arbitrary if that's the outcome. There's just no good outcome. I mean, that's the problem. There's no good outcome, so they have to pick the best bad outcome. And who knows at this point what that's going to be.
So once again, it's a who's knows type of situation, and no one kind of knows what is going to happen, and we're just going to wait for a clear, I guess, message to eventually occur from the NFL. But I do kind of tend to agree with Florio. I have a tough time believing, even though you could lay out those scenarios of maybe you don't play this weekend and then on Monday you play Bengals and Bills and then resume and start week 18 that following Sunday. I just have a tough time thinking that they're really going to change much. And I do think it's either you play this weekend or you don't, and then you push everything then back next weekend if you don't play to week 18 and you go from there. But I do kind of lean on the side that Mike Florio did say, where I don't think they're going to resume that Bengals-Bills game and you'll just figure out what you're going to do. And if anyone says, hey, it's unfair, well, obviously life isn't fair. And unfortunately, on Monday, we saw something horrible obviously occur. And in the big scheme of things, the outcome of that Bengals-Bills game, even though we may think it's important on who gets the one seed, who wins the division, obviously it's not larger than life. And there are just other things that factor into it. So maybe I'm wrong on this, but and I thought for a while, and like the last 24 hours or so up until today, so going back to yesterday, that maybe they just don't play this weekend, then play Bengals-Bills on Monday, and then you have week 18 get resumed next weekend or start next weekend. I have a tough time believing that they're going to change much. And I would think my best guess is right now is that they just won't resume Bengals-Bills, figure it out, and they'll have the games go on his schedule this weekend. But what Mike was saying, if they do next week as a week 19 and you have the NFC wild card, week 18, you push everything back, and then in week 19, you resume Bengals-Bills, and you have the NFL wild card and AFC playoff bye week, and then in week 20, you have an AFC wild card and an NFC playoff bye week. I think you got to have the AFC and the NFC lined up for the most part in the same time frame when the playoffs start. Both conferences have the playoffs start. So I think everyone's got to be on the same page. I think every team plays this weekend or you don't play this weekend. And I would still find it tough to believe that they're going to resume and go back and make those players who are going through a lot finish out that Bengals and Bills games. But I think we'll eventually get some clarity, and you would hope you get something definitive from the league other than just this, these talks of that everything's on the table being considered with Bills and Bengals. And right now I know the league released a statement that the games are still on this weekend and remain on the schedule, but you would like to hear maybe tomorrow a little bit of a more definitive tone from the league with a clear, concrete message from the commissioner on what their intentions are for this weekend. But we'll have to wait and see how that does play out. My gut tells me right now, and my gut's been wrong multiple times, so don't hold me to it, that they will play this weekend, and then the playoffs will start the weekend after that, and they're just going to scrap finishing up this Bengals-Bills game, and you'll figure out what happens from there. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. We'll come on back. We will get into all the latest surrounding Jim Harbaugh when we do return.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So Jim Harbaugh's name has once again popped up in NFL circles, and he keeps on saying that he's planning to be the head football coach of Michigan in 2023, but he keeps on saying you never know what could happen. Now, Hickey, I look at this, and last year I think we could all admit he wanted to leave, and he wanted the Vikings job. You don't interview for, 8 to 12 hours, however long it was, if you don't want that job. But even as recent as today, he said, I think I'll be coaching at Michigan next year. There's one thing to say that you think you're going to be coaching and giving off the impression that you are going to be coaching, and then your actions speak a lot louder. Because if he clearly ruled out the NFL, it wouldn't be, I think I'll be coaching at Michigan next year, and you never know what's going to happen. It would be, I'm definitely coaching at Michigan next year. That's what you would say. But last year, we heard him say, after he didn't get the Vikings job, I told the AD Ward Manuel that he wouldn't be dipping his toe in the NFL waters each and every year, and this wouldn't be a yearly thing. When that occurred, I remember us doing a segment on CBS Sports Radio, do you believe him? And we both said no. Because you wouldn't take the interview with the NFL if you weren't interested. So it showed to some level that he was interested in going back to the NFL. Now, this offseason, he has had sustained success at Michigan. I know that Saturday night was a disaster for the Wolverines, and it was a stupid coaching effort all around by the Michigan Wolverines, but you've beat the snot out of Ohio State for the second year in a row. You have won a Big Ten championship for the second year in a row. You have got to the college football playoff semifinals for the second year in a row. What really changed if you were so insisting, and I was even saying leading up to it, we'll really find out where his heart is at when he gets interest again, because you know the interest is inevitable. Like, say what you want about Harbaugh on Saturday night and the bad coaching job he did. That doesn't matter because that's in the college game. Like, it matters when you're talking college football. When you're talking about the NFL, when we've seen him on an NFL field as a coach on an NFL sideline, 4 years in San Francisco, three NFC title games, a Super Bowl appearance, and almost had a crazy second half comeback in that Super Bowl up against his brother John Harbaugh to win the Super Bowl. Now, he came up short, but he almost won it. We've seen guys with resumes that pale in comparison to what Jim Harbaugh has done in the NFL get second chances. And Harbaugh had a lot of success in the NFL and is now having a successful coaching career in college football, which, yeah, he had success at Stanford, but it's taken to a whole different level with what he's done at Michigan. So there's going to be interest, and you already have heard that David Tepper's had a conversation with Harbaugh and his representation. The Broncos are interested in as well, and you know that Jim Irsay is going to be making a phone call already if he hasn't already made that phone call. I know they have the interim coach, and they're going to tell you Jeff Saturday has a shot. Jeff Saturday, if he's coaching the Colts next year, the Colts got bigger problems than what we thought. So you got to think, because last year the only interview he took was Minnesota. Now, I don't know how many people were interested in him, but in an interview, you got to think there's going to be now multiple teams that are going to at least try to interview him. You already know the Broncos are going to try to interview him and the Panthers are going to try to interview him. And I'm sure more, when you find out what happens on Black Monday, more and more teams are going to go and see where the interest level is of Jim Harbaugh. And Harbaugh needs a GM that he could believe in, if not him getting all the power on his own. Like Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the reason he took the interview is because they know each other from their time together in San Francisco. I don't know how close they were, but they were in the same building when Jim Harbaugh was the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. So, Hickey, I don't know about you. Maybe he doesn't get an offer, and that's why he's back at Michigan next year. But I think it's starting to get clearer and clearer that he, even with all the new success that he's had at Michigan, when people told him, you can't do this, you can't do that, I think it's pretty damn clear where last year you could chalk it up to he didn't get the job. He clearly wanted to go, but then he said he was going to go back to Michigan, so you try to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I think with already the way that some of the reporting is going, regardless if he's back at Michigan or not next year, that he wants to and he would prefer to go to the NFL.
I'd be shocked if he's not on an NFL sideline this time next year. Shocked. He's, to me, as good as gone.
So I think he will be coaching in the NFL next year, but does he get that offer? Like last year, he didn't get the offer. Now, he only allowed it to be one team, and one team said no. Do the Broncos maybe make a run at Sean Payton and give him an offer he can't refuse? And then maybe he looks at Carolina and says, I don't want to go to Carolina, or the other way. Maybe that he doesn't want to go to Denver, and then the Panthers elect to go somewhere else. So I would think that it is more likely than unlikely at this point, because I do think there's enough interest and I do think someone will make him an offer, that he will be coaching in the NFL. But I'm not going to rule out the fact that he doesn't get the offer, because we don't know what actually happened in that interview room in Minnesota. And he clearly turned off enough people where you couldn't get enough people to say, thumbs up, we're going to go with Jim Harbaugh. And that's maybe the only way where if enough teams pass on him, or maybe Jim limits the pool on how many teams he'll take an interview with, and then those other teams go elsewhere, that's the only way, if the NFL says no to Jim Harbaugh, for me, Hickey, that I don't see him on an NFL sideline this year.
When you look at the teams that are available, right, at least the current ones that are open, the Panthers, the Colts, and the Broncos, I think all three should be interested. It sounds like so far all three are interested.
But if I'm Harbaugh, I wouldn't be interested in any of those three teams.
I would tend to agree. I would, but I think for Jim Harbaugh...
Wait, hold on. Come again? Did you just say that he shouldn't be... That if you were Jim Harbaugh, you wouldn't be interested in your football team?
That, I mean, look, you see what's going on this year. I would love him. I hope he comes.
New year, new Hickey.
But if you're Jim Harbaugh and you're saying, I want to go to a place that's successful, not just go back to the NFL, if you believe in Russell Wilson, okay, maybe you could send him in the Broncos. Otherwise, the Panthers are far away. The Colts are far away. If you're trying for immediate success, it's none of those jobs are there, but is he just desperate to get back? Like, he might just take the first offer that's there and say, you know what, I just want to get back. I don't care where I am. The Panthers are interested. The Colts are interested. The Broncos are interested. I'll see how those chips fall. Maybe another team or two opens up as well, and they're interested. And he just goes, you know what, I'm coaching next year. Doesn't matter where I am. I'm just going to be back.
If I look at all three rosters, and I look at Indianapolis, if Jim Harbaugh is going there, I think Chris Ballard would need to be gone, even though Jim Irsay just guaranteed that Chris Ballard is going to be back next year. But I don't know if they have a relationship or not that I'm aware of with Jim Harbaugh and Chris Ballard. That's always a possibility. But you look at the roster. Offensive line, a lot of money invested in it. Not playing well. You have Jonathan Taylor, phenomenal running back. But when a running back is your best player, that's a big cause for concern, because one ACL injury, then you're out for a year, or you never know how long the shelf life is for an NFL running back, as great as Jonathan Taylor is. You don't have a quarterback on that roster. Now, you will be picking in, let's say, the top five-ish of the draft this year, depending on what happens this weekend. So you can go get a quarterback in the draft or move up if you need to go get the guy that you want. Easier said than done. And defense, you have some good players, but a lot of older players on that defense and a lot of guys you don't even know are going to be back next year. So I don't look at Indianapolis as a desirable destination. The Panthers, you know David Tepper, if you want the total control, will give it to you. On defense, I don't think the Panthers are that far away. But on offense, they got, other than DJ Moore, not a lot to work with. And then you look at the Broncos, there's a chance that in this time next year, people are talking about it now, but it's just not realistic. But if Russ now doubles down next year, and even if he gets better, it's not drastically better, you then start to think about when you move away from Russell Wilson, as crazy as that sounds, just with all the resources they gave up to go get him. And then, oh yeah, by the way, you have to still have all that money tied up to Russell Wilson. And I know the Broncos have a good defense, but offensively, I can't say I'm a big believer in Russell Wilson anymore. So I look at all three of those options, Hickey. I wouldn't go to any of the three. And if I'm him, you know eventually you will get NFL interest. You have NFL interest every year. Eventually a team will offer you a job. Just because a team offers you a job doesn't mean you have to take it. Because you could go back to Michigan for one more year, and I know that you'll then once again say, this won't be a yearly dance, see, I'm back this year, all that, blah, 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 and everyone will say, BS, you're a liar. But you go back to Michigan next year, regardless of what you do at Michigan, you may want to wait for the pool of jobs to open up when they're a little bit more favorable. Because there was 10 jobs open up last year. This year there's going to be fewer jobs opening, and maybe there's a surprise here or there that he finds attractive. But right now, I just don't think there's enough attractive jobs where if you're Jim Harbaugh, you're rushing to go back. Now, here's the wild card. You know there's unlimited funds with these owners, especially the Broncos new ownership group, which is the richest ownership group in the league. And then we know David Tepper's got a ton of money. If they make you a $15 million a year offer, I don't know about you, Hickey. I know he has all the money in the world. You could have the bare minimum on that team. If I'm getting $15 million a year, you at least think you're going to get 3 years to build it up your way, if not more than that, because of how much he could command in that coaching market in the NFL.
And I wonder if Jim Harbaugh's confidence is just such that he goes, I don't care where I am, I'm going to win. Like he took, it's not like the 49ers were this, pristine organization we took over, and then obviously we know the success he had going three straight NFC title games and a Super Bowl. Maybe he looks at Carolina and says, weak division, weak conference, I can come in there, we'll figure it out, and we'll get going. The Broncos, I can turn around Russ, and we'll figure it out. The Colts, they have a good, Jonathan Taylor, I'll get the run game going, we'll figure it out. I can see him optimistically looking at all three.
Two coaches, I'm really curious if they're going to be back next year. I wonder if Robert Saleh's back next year with the Jets, and I do wonder if Ron Rivera is back with the Commanders. Now, neither of those coaches you have to move on from, but when you start to talk about Sean Payton, when you start to talk about Jim Harbaugh, I wonder if their owners say, let's get rid of Robert Saleh. Let's get rid of Ron Rivera. It could be a little bit more difficult with the Commanders because it looks like there's going to be a sale of that team, or maybe we're hoping there's going to be a sale of that team soon. And maybe they do all they can to go get the services of Jim Harbaugh or Sean Payton. The difference with Harbaugh and Sean, you got to go trade for and agree to a deal. Jim Harbaugh, you just got to agree to a deal and then pay Michigan $3 million. So I wonder if maybe the Jets or Commanders would be in play as well. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a timeout. When we come on back, we will chat a little David Carr defending Derek Carr. And also, I don't know if Hickey caught wind of this, but there is one CBS Sports Radio host, a legendary host, that's been taking a lot of shots at Hot Take Hickey. We'll delve into who that host is next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about.
like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.